The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm not allowed to pee in the snow anymore. So disappointed.
Wait, what do you mean you're not allowed to
pee? I just got yelled at.
Why did you get yelled at?
Who do you think yelled at me?
I mean, why does it automatically have to go to me?
Well, I was in the locker room showering, and I had to go, so...
There we go.
Anyway, I think the guy in the shower opposite saw me. He really gave me a dirty look.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
There's dogs in the neighborhood. There's deer. There's coyote.
My guess is...
You are absolutely disgusting, and I can't find an ice scraper.
That's multiple complaints coming at you this morning. So here's the problem, pal. You probably peed a little too close to the house.
Do you go in the shower?
No, never.
Do you?
I take baths.
Well, what was I supposed to do? Get out of the shower, put on my bathrobe, go all the way down to the other end, come all the way back.
Did you ever hear of holding it in?
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sitting count. Our chair is stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it.
Who sits in this chair when I'm not here?
Ashton.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, it wouldn't have been Homer, because Homer's not here. He's in Fort Myers, so yesterday would have been Benny.
Crushing my ears.
Yeah, he sits here, and it's really, really... And I'm deaf, and it's way too loud for me.
Now, do you think that he did it, you know...
Purposely?
I was going to say, because he needs it to be loud, or do you think he does it as kind of, you know... What do you call them? The romper room or something like that?
Yeah. That sounds more like me, though.
So you would just turn the volume in the headphones way up... For whoever is sitting in your chair afterwards. I'm telling you, as soon as I put these on, it was like, sound in my ear. Very uncomfortable.
Do you check your alarm clock when you go on the road?
Check my alarm clock?
In the hotel?
Oh, no, but I should. I've gotten... Oh, so now
you're the worst.
He's the one doing it.
Yeah, I know.
I'm giving.
Yes, I have gotten burned by that before.
Yeah.
Alarm going off at 3 a.m., 4 a.m. But haha, joke's on them. Usually I am wake up at 4 a.m. for game day on Saturday morning. So thanks for the assist. I traveled yesterday, as you guys well know. The airports were already a disaster. Just want to prep anybody out there who is traveling this holiday season, traveling for Thanksgiving. Get there early. You're going to be sitting. There's a lot of human beings, a lot of odors and whatnot from the human beings. We're back. You know, for a bit there, it felt like maybe we wouldn't be back. People wouldn't be traveling as much, but nope, they certainly are, guys.
This is the most busy travel day of the year, right?
And it's the biggest booze day, I guess. Right?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
As long as the people doing the traveling aren't doing the boozing. And by the people traveling, I mean the pilots.
Can I ask a dumb question? Maybe
please.
It's not dumb.
Always,
please.
Yes.
Are we the only ones that celebrate Thanksgiving?
No. Canada has their own Thanksgiving. It's in October, though.
Like it's an American holiday, yes.
Okay.
Because you know what it's celebrating, right?
The pilgrims.
Okay.
Yes.
So...
You know what they had?
So the pilgrims and the Indians came together.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what the pilgrims had for Thanksgiving? Besides gonorrhea. What they had? Lobster. Look it up.
I have to, Jen.
Yeah,
and they thought it was a poor man's food.
Lobster?
Yes.
Yes, there's something that you're saying that feels right, but not all of it. It feels like there's some details there. I have heard stories about how lobster was considered a poor man's food.
Chewy was right. Holy.
I just swore a lot
Chewy
back here.
Chewy was right.
I hate him. I love him, but I hate him.
I'm well aware.
So wait, he prefaced it by asking the dumb question of, is this just an American holiday?
I mean,
and then knew
chapter and verse
at the end exactly what... Thanksgiving was.
Classic rope-a-dope there by the Chewster. So how did you know that they had lobster at Thanksgiving?
My brain is weird. I have no idea.
You just retain that knowledge?
Yeah.
Now, are you using that knowledge to try to convince the powers that be that you should be having lobster at your Thanksgiving?
I tried yesterday.
But no one's falling for it. Why so? I'm not. I don't know. Maybe you should change your verbiage.
Maybe you should say nobody's going for it. Because when you say nobody's falling for it, it seems like you're playing a trick on them.
No, but
you're going to poison.
Tradition's fine, but I'm all about making things better. Right?
Are you?
Let's just go with it.
I'm listening. I'm willing to listen to this.
Like, lobster's better than turkey, so why don't we have lobster? And then they're going to have, I don't know.
Is it possible that even though at one point it was considered a poor man's food, that now because it's considered a delicacy, it's too expensive for most people to enjoy at Thanksgiving?
Yeah, but if it's not going to be too expensive for somebody, it's going to be the Kennedys over there, right?
No, I mean, but all I'm trying to say is there's things better than turkey. Oh, why are we settling?
I don't think anyone's arguing with
that. The settlers
didn't
settle, too.
It's the tradition of Thanksgiving.
I guess I'm not into tradition. Are you guys?
Which is interesting because you're so into routine.
Yeah.
And I feel that tradition is like a cousin of routine.
But you're into, yeah, that's a good point. But you're into tradition in other things, right? Like there are things that you feel very strongly about that go back to tradition.
Such as?
Yeah, I don't want to get into it. I don't want to get into it. So we'll just scoop right along. So lobster for Thanksgiving, huh? This is your campaign. This is your platform. This is what you would run on if you
were
running
for office.
I would just
say something better, right?
Which for you would literally be
like
anything.
What, if you were going to get a sub.
Ooh, subs for Thanksgiving.
Take the health out of it. Take all of it out. You're not getting turkey.
You're asking us to do something that you don't do.
What's that?
Take the health out of it.
Yes. But for one day. Like, what are you getting? Steak and cheese? Italian
roast beef? Roast beef, yeah.
Roast beef.
Oh, that pepperoni melt from Cousins that we had when we tried that when we were out there earlier this summer. Whew.
Oh, have you guys had the Cousins really Cubano yet? The limited time Cubano?
That's really good.
God, yeah,
that's
isn't
good.
It time for Justin?
No,
he was just here a couple weeks. Yeah, he was just here with Donald.
Where was I?
You were here.
Oh,
I was overseas.
Yeah, he was not here.
Sorry.
The first Thanksgiving meal eaten by pilgrims in November 1621 included lobster. They also ate fruit and vegetables brought by Native Americans, which I think you're supposed to say indigenous people, mussels, clams, oysters. Did it say bass as well?
I pretty much said that yesterday, didn't I?
You said it like 20 seconds
ago. Back in 1621, lobsters were so plentiful, you could grab them by the hand straight out of the ocean at low tide.
Oh, wow. That would be luscious.
So they just ate all the lobster, and now we don't have that luxury today.
I will say about lobster, and I feel this way about sushi as well. I never am full after I have lobster. Do you know how much lobster you have to eat to get full?
Yeah.
Or you just need a lot of sides.
Well, it's good for you.
Which works for Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving is more of... It's more about the sides than it is the turkey.
But if you're at the table and you're looking around and you have the option of a lobster or you have the option of mac and cheese, aren't you going double lobster?
You mix the two together.
Yeah, I'm going double mac and cheese.
Yeah, I was about to say, you combine it. Like, I don't know what you're doing over there.
Wonderful. That was a bad example. Let me try again. Like, if you got an option here? Of lobster and green bean casserole...
I'm the only one that would choose green bean casserole, I'm pretty sure.
Do you guys love green bean casserole? I love
it. No, but there are some people that do. And
you don't love it?
I leave it. I don't eat it. I'll leave it for them.
Okay.
They can eat it.
Because that's a total Midwest thing. I never heard of it till I came here.
Casserole in general, I think, is a Midwest thing.
Would you do burgers for Thanksgiving?
I was thinking about, we had a caller a little while ago, that for an appetizer, he brought like 25 hamburgers from McDonald's. And they all went.
Yep. Yep. What about steak?
Pass.
Pork chops.
Steak would be tough on Thanksgiving because it's such an individualized thing. Now, if you're doing like a lot of people
tenderloin.
Do, see like what people do around, you know, Christmas, New Year's, and they do the prime roast, you know, you throw that in the oven and then you can cut that up. But if you're doing just like separate cuts of steak, man, that's tough for the person. You got 10 people coming over to the house. You're cooking 10 steaks for 10 different people.
Turkey's like watching the Packers play the Eagles on Sunday night.
We're listening.
Probably something better on.
If you're an Eagles fan, not so much.
Yeah.
I just am interested in what you would rather do. I know lobster is the top of your list. I'm just interested in, other than the lobster for Thanksgiving, is there anything else that you are considering trying to work into the menu more regularly?
I would go, Jen, straight Italian.
Well, I thought that you didn't want the Italian. I thought that, you were getting the Italian and you were
anti-Italian. The only problem with Italian in our household is it's beat down.
Yeah, so why do you want to do it on Thanksgiving? How does that make any sense?
Because it's good. You know what I had last night? Lasagna.
I don't, man.
You complain a lot about something that you
seem
to enjoy.
And that is the locker room. All we do is complain.
Ugh.
That's it.
Negative energy.
I think I'm getting inside his brain, and then he just pulls a stunt like this. Like there are liners that we play about you complaining about how much Italian that you eat in your house, and now to switch it up on Thanksgiving, you want to do something that you do 364 days.
Maybe it's just because he dislikes turkey that much.
He dislikes
turkey so much, he's willing to also have Italian, which he has all the time in his house, on Thanksgiving as well. I don't think you're alone, Chu. I don't know how turkey got this distinction. You know, it's very well known. Most people are not eating turkey, not making a turkey, because it's very complicated. It takes a long time.
Nah, not really.
The other times of the year. What do you mean, not really?
It's not that
hard.
Yeah,
that is true.
I just made a turkey on Sunday.
Why?
Why?
Friendsgiving.
But that doesn't count. You were going to a Friendsgiving.
Yeah, but
you make it on March 11th?
Part of your argument was it was hard to do. It's really not hard to do.
How did you make the turkey?
So I brined it overnight and had a lot of things in there. Spatchcocked it, took out the backbone, flattened it out, threw it on my Traeger for 3.5 hours.
That doesn't count.
Boom.
That doesn't count.
What do you mean it doesn't count?
Gabe, I want to defend you here so badly, but not everyone's spatchcocking a turkey or knows what that is.
So you take. I explained what it was.
What does it do?
It flattens it out so it cooks more evenly.
But it also cooks faster, right?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Most people aren't spatchcocking.
It takes 2 minutes. Should. If you're doing it right, it takes 2 minutes to spatchcock.
And if you're doing it wrong, you lose a hand. So, you know, do it right, damn it.
Never spatchcock with your hand.
I assumed you only spatchcock with your hand.
Uh-huh. Ooh, Jen's back.
Anyway, I think that most people are not eating turkey other times during the year. It surprises me a little, especially considering what we just learned from Chewy's brilliant brain, that if they were having lobster at the first Thanksgiving, somehow lobster over time and a very bad telephone game morphed into turkey.
I don't think it's that hard to figure out. Turkey is easily accessible. Lobster's not.
Big turkey took over.
Exactly. Big turkey was like, gobble, gobble, gobble this. And the lobsters are like, well, what are we supposed to do? And then they're just gone.
Hang out in the ocean.
Gobble, gobble this.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We're off and running.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Hopefully you're enjoying your last day of work as you finish up the work week now. We are going to try to talk to Jason Wilde a little bit later in the show. We are going to talk to Adam Schefter in about 15 minutes here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Apparently, Dominique Foxworth went on Get Up earlier this week and said some crazy stuff, some crazy talk, some stuff I just cannot wrap my brain around. We'll get to that right after this.
Black Friday is coming up. You want to take advantage of X Golf and everything they've got going on with their Black Friday gift card special. It starts at 12:01 a.m., goes to 11:59 p.m. on Friday, November 25th. That means you can have 20% off gift cards, max of $500, with X Golf. That gets you the food, that gets you the sim time, that gets you everything that you love about X Golf. It's a great gift to give. If you've got that golfer in your family, you're going, man, what do I get him? You get them sim time at X Golf so they can keep their game rolling during the winter months so they're ready to hit the ground running when spring comes around. Check out xgolfbrookfield.com, xgolfmequon.com, and use the code XBF22 for 20% off gift cards, max $500. It's only good this Black Friday. Code XBF22. Just think X Golf Black Friday. XBF22. XGolfBrookfield.com. XGolfMequon.com.
Listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's a fine flavor.
Yeah, but what do you put it in?
Everything that you bake, basically.
You don't know because you haven't brought any food in.
But he does bake. I mean, he posts pictures on Instagram.
I see him. I make crap up all the time. I don't know if he can bake.
On 94.5 ESPN.
in Milwaukee getting you set for Thanksgiving and likely a Friday off. So enjoy your Thanksgiving this weekend. Probably got one more work day to get through. So we will try to help you start off today on the right foot. Pretty good slate of games. Pretty good slate of football games on tomorrow. Bills, Lions, Giants, Cowboys, Pats, Vikings.
That's it for the week.
They put all the good ones on Thanksgiving.
Sunday sucks.
Which one intrigues you the most? I want to see what Minnesota's
Pats.
Deal is.
Yeah, Pats Vikings.
You know?
That's the most intriguing one.
See how they rebound. See if they're for real. See if they're tanking.
You think that the Lions are just going to get curb stomped?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
They're playing. They're balling.
Yeah, and they've won three in a row. It's nice, and now they get to play the big boys.
It's at Detroit, though?
It is in Detroit.
Okay.
Is there such thing as home field advantage in the NFL?
Sure.
Now?
Sure.
Now? Seattle? Not as many places.
Yeah, not as many places, but I think it exists. Plus, there's, again, like the whole travel and being comfortable at home thing.
But you also fly on private jets, and like they're very quick. You know what I mean? It's not like, I don't know, it just feels like they have expedited that process so well.
Sure, but even if you're flying on a private jet and then you have to go to the tiny locker room in the stadium, you'd much rather just be at home and go to your locker room and have that comfortability of being around things that are familiar.
I mean, yeah. Rodgers went on the record talking about the hotels, right? When they were asked to even stay in the hotels at home.
Mm-hmm.
Do they still do the veteran thing where veterans get to stay at their house?
Yep. Yeah, that was implemented last year, carried over to this year.
Wonder when we're going to start talking about that potentially being an issue for the team, too.
Probably not long. See, I think it's changed.
If that is on the list of things that's wrong with this team,
well,
we are
lost.
How long is your list?
It's
incredibly long.
It's
so long.
Hey,
it is so far, like, that has nothing to do with
how bad this team is. We joked around the other day about how the list that was put out by Bill Huber about how here are 10 things that have gone wrong for the Packers this season, we could have doubled the list. Could have come up with 10 more.
Yeah. That's not on the list. Like, you could double it. You could probably quadruple it before I get to, oh, and by the way, at home, they're not staying in the hotel.
But also, they're not staying in the hotel because that's what Aaron Rodgers wanted, and he somehow convinced his coach that was in the best interest of the team. I'm not so sure that we can just willy-nilly accept that Aaron Rodgers knows what's in the best interest of the team. Speaking of Aaron Rodgers Packers, Dominique Foxworth was on Get Up on Tuesday morning. I don't even know what he was asked. I don't even know what the inquiry was. Ashley, what was he asked that he gave this wonderful response?
He was asked if Aaron Rodgers and the Packers should part ways at the end of the season. And this is what he had to say.
I mean, I think if the big question was they need a receiver, seems like Watson is turning into something that they can rely on. They still have a ton of talent on defense and some great running backs. They, in my view, they still have the best roster headed into next season of anybody in that division. We all know that the Vikings aren't as good as their record shows. The Bears have a quarterback that's on the ascent, but he's not quite where he needs to be yet, and they have a lot of other holes. And also the Lions, their defense is not good, and I'm not sure that the draft picks are going to solve that. So if I had to pick one of these teams to win next year's division, it's the Packers behind a little bit worse Aaron Rodgers with an improving receiving core over any of the rest of those teams,
yeah,
unfortunately.
He doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't know the roster. He doesn't know the cap trouble they're in. He doesn't know they're probably going to lose Tonyan, so they got to go get a tight end.
Good. Tonyan's not doing anything.
No, but I'm saying these are all holes you got to fill. Lazard, do you bring him back? I mean, for cheap.
Maybe.
But
yeah.
He is what he is. My guess is you got to fire Joe Barry Carroll. So you don't pick up day one and be like, oh, new defense? Yeah, we're off and running. That takes time. You know, he's crazy.
Like, do they have talent on defense?
Aaron Jones? Yeah, they got to bring him back. But does Aaron Jones want to be back? You know?
I don't know if they have to bring him back.
But then there's another hole you got to fill.
Yeah, I understand.
You know?
I understand.
Why you're not agreeing with these.
No.
I mean, I think the Bears, I didn't think the Bears were going to win a game this year with their receivers and things like that.
Yeah, they're trending. The Bears are trending in the right direction. They don't have a great roster.
And then Minnesota has their pieces. They're probably going to ride out Kirk Cousins as long as they can keep this core together. Now they can just draft defense and go out and get free agents.
My guess is they're running into some cap trouble, too.
Probably a little bit, but I mean, this is not an apparition. I should probably write that
every
down.
Time. No, you should.
You know what I mean? You
should put that
on
a t-shirt.
There are a lot of holes to fill, coupled with the fact that your GM
can't draft players. So where's the confidence there? I don't know. Is it a whole blow up?
That's the conversation you got to have.
It's either a whole blow up or I don't even know if they can go all in. Season is exhausting. I'm so used to them winning.
Yeah, it's tough.
This used to be so easy. Yeah.
You know? I guess my biggest question coming out of that quote from Dominique Foxworth is, what doesn't he like about the Vikings? What does he like about the way the Vikings are putting their team together?
Well, and so the Vikings, I mean, he called them fraudulent. That's a conversation that's been happening because this is a team that has won 7 one-score games.
Yeah, but I've also heard people say that the Eagles are fraudulent. That was a storyline that came out when they lost. Like,
and then
we'll see over the next few weeks how fraudulent they are.
And they were probably saying that about Dallas a little bit after they lose to the Packers.
Yeah, but they just paced. I mean, for the Cowboys to go in there and pace them 40-3, like for the Vikings to go, oh, step up in competition. You know, they were very fortunate to win the game at Buffalo. Had a lot of breaks fall their way.
But they've also got a first-year head coach. Like Chewy, I think, mentioned, some of these teams you just give a mulligan to when they're rolling, and then they have a clunker. I think we would do that for the Packers, wouldn't we? Wouldn't we say, it's an anomaly?
Well, then you can't say that about the Vikings and not say something about the Bills, who are supposed to be head and shoulders over everybody in the NFL this year, and they have 3 losses.
Yeah, they will be at the end.
Gabe is not letting it go. No, his totem might have went to the Bills.
No, they'll be 13-4, 14-3.
I still think Kansas City's better.
They beat Kansas City at Kansas City.
It's the clunker.
For Kansas City?
Well, for
it was a really good game.
No, it's just, you could say the same thing about every team.
Well, and I think that this is a conversation that is comparable to what you're seeing at the college level as well. Like when I see some of the narrative surrounding the Minnesota Vikings as far as being in close games, it reminds me of what people are saying about TCU, which has had to come back to win in, I believe, like 6 of their last 7 games or 7 of their last 8 games, something crazy like that. Like, how much weight do you put on the ability to come back in games, to win the close games? To me, there's like a resiliency that needs to be applauded. And there is a level of, when your back's against the wall, you don't fold your tents. You don't shut it down. Mm-hmm. You figure out a way to win.
It's not sustainable, though. But you can't consistently do that and expect to just be able to come from behind all the time. It's going to come back and bite you. And it kind of shows you that you're not actually a dominant team.
Maybe.
But if Foxworthy was saying this about the year that Jordy Nelson went out, I'd be like, yeah, you're right. You know, this is just what happens. It's a clunker. They still have a good... I don't think this roster is great.
Well, because the one thing he pointed to is the defense.
Paper Tigers.
They're 16, 14. Did we say 14 or 16?
So they are 12th in yards allowed, 16th in points allowed.
So 14. You know, top 5 to 14. I ain't going to get it done.
No, but I mean, you look around, like Darnell Savage isn't the answer to anything. Who knows what happens with Adrian Amos? Jair Alexander hasn't played up to the ability that he can. Rasul Douglas and Devondre Campbell have proven that they're maybe one-year wonders versus an actual answer at their respective positions. Rashawn Gary tore his ACL in the middle of the season. I can't expect that he's going to be back, ready to go, putting torque on that knee, trying to rush around the edge at the beginning of next season.
And then the peeing match that goes on between Rodgers and LaFleur has to be settled if Rodgers is coming back next year. Which offense are we running here? Shotgun, or are we going to run LaFleur's offense? You know? But this goes along with giving the guy so much power.
I just think head-to-head, when you look position by position, the Vikings have better talent than the Packers have. That's why I was surprised that Foxworth immediately like pushed him off. I mean, especially offensively, Chu, you have been on record as saying that between their running game and their passing weapons, this is an intimidating offense. Now, Gabe, I know you always kind of couch it by yes, but they've got Kirk Cousins throwing him the ball or distributing the ball. But it feels to me like person to person, maybe, quote-unquote, with the exception of Aaron Jones. And is it Dalvin Cook?
Dalvin Cook's their number one.
I mean, maybe you could argue that Aaron Jones is more productive.
And then you go back to Chicago, Jen. They're going to have $100 million to spend. And they're already on the uptick. They have $100 million.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have to fiddle and move this and cut here. And he's going to play 3 games a year and this and that. I mean,
they still have a lot of holes.
They still have a lot of holes, but you can see excitement there building.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure on Fields. I think if they run the right offense, he could be pretty darn
100%.
Good.
100%. They need to bolster their offensive line. They need another weapon in there offensively, and they need to completely rebuild that defense.
Detroit? I mean, Campbell's probably going to get another year.
you think?
Yeah, but they traded away. You know, they got to figure out their quarterback. They traded away one of their best offensive weapons. Their defense.
They're waiting on.
Jameson Williams,
who's a hell of a player,
might be playing tomorrow because he was activated off of he was allowed to practice, hasn't been fully activated yet, but his window to practice and be activated has been opened. Yeah, there's some promise with the Lions. They've got a lot of things to do defensively.
Yeah, but my guess is they have a lot of money too. And they probably, what'd they pick up for Hawkinson? They didn't really, they got second and a third
and traded like a fourth and a fifth.
800-990-3776. That's our old National Bank talk and text line. We'll put it on the poll. Dominique Foxworth thinks the Packers have the best roster in the North moving forward. Let's ask our Packer backers if they agree with that. Do they look around this roster and look around this division and go, yep, leaps and bounds better. Got all the talent, just haven't been able to put it together this year. Let us know, 800-990-3776. We've got Adam Schefter coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around for that.
Cousin Subs Game Day giveaway has been going on. It's your chance to win a $400 Ticket King gift certificate to select tickets to an upcoming game or concert of your choice. Visit CousinSubs.com/GameDayGiveaway to enter. At the end of the year, one grand prize winner will be selected to win a Ticket King gift certificate to take in a Green Bay game with a guest hotel and tailgate tickets to the Tundra Trio beforehand. It's the Cousin Subs Game Day giveaway. Enter. CousinSubs.com/GameDayGiveaway.
Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
Adam Schefter teased some big breaking news. Adam, you've told us about it. What do we got?
Adam's on the phone.
Adam, yeah, some more
Adam, yeah, you got more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And he was the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter.
He fired Frank Reich today. He hired Jeff Saturday. Jim Irsay doesn't care what you think.
Adam Schefter on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is presented by Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin. There is a difference.
Always great to get the insight from our friend, Adam Schefter. Good morning, Shefty. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, pal.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, your families. Lovely time of the year, the unofficial start of the holiday season, or really the official start of the holiday season, I guess, and kind of neat. So happy Thanksgiving to everybody in Milwaukee and all around Wisconsin.
Yeah, I was at the airport yesterday. I said the chaos has already begun. So just a word to the wise of those out there traveling, be patient. There are a lot of people trying to get places this week, and just got to bring your patience with you.
And I will tell you this, I passed through Customs Mexico City Sunday night, and I can tell you that it's really begun there too. So
here's what I want to ask you about first and foremost, okay? Chewy is out on turkey. He has said he wants something else. And then he informed us this morning with his brilliant brain that apparently at the first Thanksgiving back in the 1600s, they had lobster at the first Thanksgiving. We had to play our sounder here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, which we don't like to play, but unfortunately we play very often.
We don't?
Chewy was right. Holy Chewy was right.
They did, in fact, have lobster at the first Thanksgiving. Are you in or out on turkey for the Thanksgiving meal?
Well, I'm in on it. I got no problems with it, but I'm a little disappointed that the Pilgrims didn't make a bigger push on lobster. Like, that's really disappointing. Like, I mean, we could have been eating lobster rather than turkey all this time. Like, that's – I got to tell you something. The day's off to a rough start here. I'm just telling you right now. Like, that's not great news considering – what this could have been. This holiday is already blissful. I mean, it's family food and football. It's fantastic. But if it was family food, football featuring lobster, like, yeah, like we're laughing.
Nothing
we're
like
laughing.
A good clam bake. I'll dig the hole in the backyard more than happy.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be great.
Thanks to clam bake. It doesn't sound like it goes, but that's because it's been ingrained in our thinking all these years. Like if we had, you know, been trained to think like it's time for the clam bake, the Thanksgiving clam, like you'd be I would be fired up, you know. So that's me. That was a big whiff on our part, our founding fathers and the Pilgrim, everybody, they screwed that up.
just a big hole in the resume.
Amongst other things, if you believe history. So
who's responsible for Thanksgiving? Like who created it? Honestly, who created it? I don't even know. Forgive my lack of historical knowledge here.
I've given you all I had with the lobster.
You're relying on everybody else to fill the gaps.
Just do a Google search. Who's responsible for Thanksgiving? I, I think somehow it's like the Pilgrims. That's just what I think. I don't know why I think that, but that's what I do.
He's right. We used to watch Brady Bunch, and they had a special on that back in the day. That was a great show. Wonderful. They should bring that back as well. Shefty, let's fast forward to the end of the year for the Packers. They're trending like they're going to finish 7-10, which is where a lot of people have it. Do you think they're just going to sit there and run this thing back, or is there going to be a little cleaning of house with the D coordinator? I don't know. I don't think they fire Gutekunst, but they just can't run this thing back because they're A, in cap trouble, and B, on a roster right now that seems like it doesn't have a lot of talent. What do you think is going to happen here?
Well, yeah, I don't know specifically, but here's what I would say. Any team that falls short of its own expectations, and this team will, any team that falls short of expectations, finishes below 500, has the type of tumultuous season that they are having, always makes some changes. It just does. I mean, it's a part of this league, and it's why fans get so fired up and hopeful during the offseason is because they see their 7-10 team change this and do that and land this and change that. And so I don't know what they're going to – I don't know what they're going to land on and what they're going to change, but there will be changes. I mean, that – you can take that to the bank because – every team makes changes, even the good ones. But the ones that fall short make more changes. So I don't know what those will be. I don't know. And, you know, I think the biggest – everything starts with the quarterback. Like, what are his plans? Is he committed to coming back for 2023? Is he walking? Does he want out? Does he want to be there? Does he want to come back? What does he want to do? And I think before you can do anything else, you got to figure out what he's thinking about next season. And once you know that, then you go from there.
Do you think there are teams that will still really want him, or has this year hurt him as far as, say, tradability?
I don't think his contract is tradable. From what I looked it over. I've spoke to a couple of cap people. You know, we said that I would do that. The way that one cap guy explained to me is it's a really difficult contract and situation to trade. Like, it would have to be a post June 1 designated trade. Even then, it would be really difficult to pull off. There are always ways, I guess. I never want to make a blanket statement like he can't get, because things get done. But the way that it's written in a very unusual, unique way. In fact, the guy was on the phone. I think they have until September 1st to exercise an option. You'd never seen an option bonus that had an option that went to the first day of the regular season in 23, the next season. And so there's all sorts of cap ramifications. And the guy that I was on the phone with, who I consider to be very smart, was like, I haven't seen anything like this. And I don't know if they could trade. Like, this is a really hard contract to trade. Really hard. So I'm never going to close the door or something like that, but I would just say this, that either he's playing there or he's walking, he's retiring. I would say of the three, a trade is the least likely because of the way that the contract is structured right currently. Now, I guess could they go in and, you know, refigure it knowing that he wants to play for somebody else, if that's what he wanted? Sure, that's what I'm saying. You can always do things. But in its current form, that contract is difficult to trade.
Shefty, have you heard any talk around the league about what Jordan Love's future might be? Not necessarily with the Packers, but how he's kind of being evaluated, talked about around the NFL. Because if Rodgers does decide to retire, he's the one waiting in the wings.
Well, and I think they know that. And I think that they have to have him waiting in the wings. This is his third year right now, or second
year? Yeah, third year.
Third year, right. So... he's got one more year. He's got a franchise year. And, you know, you've put this time and money into investing this guy, time and draft pick into investing this guy. And you know that Aaron is at or near the end of the line. And so you know, again, I don't think there are teams out there with quarterback needs right now saying, boy, I really want to get my hands on Jordan Love. Like, this is the guy that's going to solve our issues. I think that he and the Packers, for the time being, are sort of an item. And Green Bay knows that if Aaron doesn't return next year, he's their guy. And so, to me, he's got more value and meaning to them than he does to any other team in the league. You know, I don't think there's been this, you know, huge push, boy, we got to go get Jordan Love out of Green Bay. That is subject to change this offseason. But I just think that these two sides need each other more than another side needs Jordan Love.
Adam Schefter joining Jen, Gabe, and Chewy as he does each and every Wednesday during the football season. Okay, we were talking this morning about the power rankings that came out yesterday. Kansas City, Eagles, Bills, Miami, Cowboys round out the top five on ESPN's list. But there's a lot of talk, and maybe it's just other fan bases and other media, that the Bills and the Cowboys and the Vikings, they've been using the F word, frauds. Maybe there's frauds as far as the Cowboys and the Vikings go. They're not as good as their record indicates. They're not as good as people think they are. Are you seeing any fraudiness from any of those teams, or do you think they are legit squads that are going to make a deep run in the playoffs?
Well, I would say this. The Vikings, I think their point differential, I think they've given up more points than they've scored this year.
I think that's right. It's now, a negative point differential.
And so, now that's thrown a little bit out of whack with a 40-3 loss this past Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys. I got it. I don't think anybody with an 8-2 record is a fraud. Okay, like that to me is it's fraudian to say that about any of these teams. They're 8-2. That's what they are. And if they down the stretch go 4-3, it means they're going to finish 12-5 and make the and win the division and make the playoffs and have a home playoff game. And then you see what happens in the postseason. Maybe, and this is fair, Jen, you don't have as much confidence in Minnesota as you would in a team like Philadelphia or Dallas or San Francisco. That's fine. But guess what? The season kind of begins post-Thanksgiving. Every team got a chance to prove itself. The one that's playing its best football in December and into the is going to advance. And that might be Minnesota, as fraudian as they've been through 10 games while putting up an 8-2 record. I just don't buy much into that. I don't. That's me. The Vikings have done exactly what they wish they could. If you had said to any Vikings fan at the start of the season in mid to late August, would you take an 8-2 record despite the fact that you'll give up more points than you scored? Oh, yeah. There would be 100% buy-in in the state of Minnesota on that. And so what? That they haven't played great at times. Hey, Minnesota went into Buffalo and won there. Minnesota's won 7 other games besides that. I'll take that every time. Every time. And Buffalo, listen, I wouldn't want to play that team in the postseason. I you know, Josh Allen's gotten careless in the red zone. They have not been able to pull out some close games. I still think that that team is formidable and dangerous and as good as just about any team in football. Who was the third team? Dallas? I don't think Dallas is a fraud. I think Dallas is a dangerous team. I think the Cowboys are really good, capable of going to and winning the Super Bowl. Doesn't mean they will. But, I mean, any team that goes into a 8-1 team, their place and beats them 40-3 is a good team.
Chef Deere, is there any legs to this report that came out that teams are colluding to get rid of guaranteed deals?
Yeah, I saw something on that yesterday, and I was like, what is this? It was just kind of weird. Teams collude all they want on guaranteed money. First of all, the guaranteed money in the sport of football is less than the guaranteed money in other sports. So I can't imagine it's going to go the other way and get less. I don't see that happening. Now, I'd have to read more in depth as to what this was about exactly. But my immediate visceral reaction is the guaranteed money in football isn't going down. And by the way, to have it go down, first of all, I think it'd be illegal to collude. And secondly, they'd have to have the support of the union, which they never would.
Mm-mm.
So how does that get done? Like, how could it go down? How could it go down?
Well, it wouldn't go down till the next CBA is up, right? They could.
But that's in 8 years. Like, what? I mean, that's
yeah, that is 8 years down the road.
Yeah, you know, I think it's 8 years. Maybe seven. Maybe not. I think it's 8 years. But all that, you know, I might move in 8 years too. Like, I might have 8 years. I don't know.
We might have lobster on Thanksgiving in 8 years.
That's true.
we may have made the full time shift from turkey to lobster in 8 years. But there's enough time to implement it in 8 years. Yes.
So we started with Thanksgiving. Let's end with Thanksgiving here, Shefty. When you walk in, I don't know if you're hosting Thanksgiving, I don't know if you're going anywhere for Thanksgiving, but when you walk into the room that is housing all of the food for Thanksgiving, where does your eye go first? What are you eyeing up? What are you looking forward to most that's going to be on your plate?
The TV. That's what I'm looking for. Is what I want.
You got Fox on? You got Fox on, right? Watching some football.
In all honesty, that is the first, like, because my wife's family doesn't really care too much about football. And so I walk in there and everybody's, you know, gathering around, eating food and drinking wine. And I'm like, where's the TV? Like, do we have it on? Yeah. Do we have it on the game? Let's put the game on. That is my focus on Thanksgiving. And, you know, the interesting part about it, I was thinking about it 3 years ago. I passed a kidney stone the day before Thanksgiving. I was in the hospital. And then 2 years ago was the pandemic. And then last year, my wife's cousin brought a bunch of books that I had written over to our house to have me sign them and decided to stay for a few hours and hang out, give us hugs and kisses and all that, and leaves the house only to have his father call us 2 hours later that his son tested positive for COVID just then. So we had to cancel our Thanksgiving plans last year. So literally, I haven't had turkey or lobster in 4 years.
Wow, that's a heck of a run you guys are on over there. My goodness, we will be crossing our fingers you have a very uneventful Thanksgiving and holiday for you guys.
I don't even know what Thanksgiving is anymore. Like, I don't even remember. Like, what happens on this holiday?
Last thing I have for you, Shefty. Rogers was on McAfee yesterday, and he talked about how he likes the Irish goodbye. You know, where you leave a party without saying goodbye. Some of my friends call it ghosting, where you just kind of poof and you're gone. Are you a fan of the Irish goodbye? Are you a fan of, I'm not going to walk around the room and say goodbye and hug and kiss and get into a conversation that I don't really want to get into. I'm just going to, when it's time to go, I'm leaving.
I think it's me. I can't speak for everybody. I always go thank the guests and, you know, like, let's say it's a wedding, right? I'll thank, you know, the bride and the groom and the parents, and then that's it. Like, I don't need to do the whole room. Like, no. But, you know, Thanksgiving, I want to thank we'll go there tomorrow. Hopefully, assuming I don't pass a kidney stone or get COVID or anything like that. And we'll thank the hosts at the end of the night. Hey, listen, Vicky, Dave, thank you so much for having us over. Bye, 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 bye. Okay, and we're out the door. Like, that's it. So I don't like long drawn. I want to be appreciative and respectful and polite to the hosts of whatever party it is. But beyond that, I'm down with just getting out the door and going home.
Chewy, where do you stand on that?
Adam, we have parties at my house, and when it's time to go to bed, I just go to bed. When it's over, it's over.
He went to Gabe's wedding earlier this year.
Oh, it was classic.
And again, you know Chewy, he's a big dude, right? It's not like he can, like, sneak out. We all saw him leaving, but he made sure not to make eye contact with a single one of us and just left.
Somebody asked him where he was going on the way out the door.
I didn't say where I was going to the bathroom. I was going home.
You were there for 40 minutes.
I know.
I'm okay with what Chewy, like, I got no issues with that. But did Chewy, do you thank the people, like, before I left, hey, congratulations, you know, good luck, thanks. Make sure you give them your gift. Make sure you give them the gift, and then you get out of there, right?
I send a text. Shefty, one other thing.
Can't confirm he did not send a text.
Because I went to a Super Bowl party over Craig Karmazin's, owner of... Wow.
President.
Of the station. Is it wrong? Wrong to bring a bottle of wine and then drink the whole bottle of wine yourself? I don't think that's wrong.
Well, if you bring the bottle of wine, you give it to them and they serve it to you, you can drink it however much you want. But I think it's wrong to give them and then go take that bottle and go drink it on your own.
Yeah, then I was wrong.
So you got to bring two bottles next time. One for Craig.
We have told you that. It's just when Adam Schefter comes through, that you're like, yeah, maybe maybe you were right.
Schefty was on his side with the lobster, so he's connected to Schefty for life.
Adam, we really appreciate you hanging out with us. Enjoy your holidays, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Enjoy the big clam bakes tomorrow, everybody.
I can't wait.
We are going to make this happen, by the way. We have the power. We can just get the word out there that no more turkey. We're not doing the dry meat anymore. I mean, clam bake.
Getting Schefter on board is a huge first step
in that direction.
Huge win. That's a huge first step.
He's got a huge audience, a huge reach. He can definitely help us.
Well,
make
you're
this
next.
Happen.
College game day, Saturday, Ohio State, Michigan.
Yes.
Say, hey, enough of the turkey. We're trending towards
the
clam bake.
You should just bring a lobster tail on set.
There you go. Or dress as a lobster.
Or, yep, even better.
Chewy was right. Holy. Chewy was right.
Just walking around in a lobster suit.
My favorite part of the show is when you guys try to sabotage my other job. That's my favorite part.
It'd be worth it. Think about it. To get lobster on Thanksgiving might be worth it.
You know what? That's a very good point. Let me think about it. Let me do all the pros and cons. I'll make a list. I think we should absolutely consider that. Have you guys considered St. Kate the Arts Hotel for all of your holiday needs? It is so pleased to announce its next exclusive dining experience. On Friday, December 2nd, write that down, Friday, December 2nd, you're invited to attend a special wild game dinner. It's a 5-course meal with dishes featuring pheasant, trout, wild boar, and more, Susian. And it has been curated by executive chef Paul Funk. You'll enjoy the ambiance of St. Kate's secret dining space, the Dark Room, as it is transformed into a rustic mountain lodge for one night only. This event is part of a dinner series at St. Kate called Chef Paul Funk Unframed, an ongoing series of events featuring culinary favorites from the hotel's executive chef, Paul Funk. Friday, December 2nd, wild game dinner. Mark your calendar. And for more information, you just go to their website, stkatearts.com, stkatearts.com, Friday, December 2nd, for a wild game dinner.
Before. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So they're having a furry party in the Hyatt?
I believe the My Little Pony stuff is different than
furries. Are you looking it up on a work computer, or are you looking it up on your cell phone? Not on the
convention?
Not see Ashton, like,
not even
having a secret life.
It's called, they're called bronies, Chewy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
To our campaign to get lobster as the official meat, it's the meat of the sea, official meat of Thanksgiving, can we do the thing where we get people to officially not judge other people's houses? Because what ends up happening, guys, is that is the thought process that leads to every mom and every wife and every woman needing to clean the baseboards, clean the third drawer of the refrigerator before company is coming over.
Wait, who's judging houses?
Well, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he's...
It's not what he said.
He's judging. He's judging, period.
Yeah, he said decorations.
Wait, you're
and all
telling
that.
Me
yeah.
You're telling me you're not eyeing up the food and you're going, oh, I want that? You're judging with your eyes the second you see all that food on the table.
I'm saying, can we campaign to not do that? Can we not do that?
Good luck.
And why does it always fall on the woman, Jen? I don't know. It's kind of weird.
It's a great question. Why does it always fall on the woman, Ashley? I'd love a little help with the cleaning and the prepping.
I do the cleaning.
As opposed to who else?
I don't know. Kids? Husband? Well, one of those.
You don't have either of those.
I got me.
Which is why you do the cleaning.
That's a good point. All right, I stand down.
Wait, so you're going to tell me that to make nobody feel bad, you're going to take equal portions of everything that everybody made at Thanksgiving so you're not, this is better than something else.
In addition to the not judging, how about we not internalize if people take more of our side or less of our side than others also?
No, my side's the best, so.
I just feel like this holiday comes with a lot of baggage.
It comes with a lot of carbs.
We'll dive into this right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.